Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Wednesday. I am so fired up today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It is, we know college football starts this weekend. We have the final preseason game, which doesn't mean a lot except for maybe some of these rookie quarterbacks will play. Certain cities think I don't like them. Oklahoma thinks I don't like them because I'm banging on Baker Mayfield.
And Russell Westbrook.
He hates Oklahoma. It's like, no, it just happens you have two guys I've been critical of. Philadelphia thinks I hate him, even though I used to cover Jay Wright. I love Villanova. Duke and Villanova are my favorite college basketball programs in Gonzaga. And I also loved Andy Reid, who was there. But I think now my favorite player in the NFL is a Philadelphia Eagle. Malcolm Jenkins. The Eagles have put in their locker room a huge sign in their locker room. It says Super Bowl 52 champions. A big sign. And Malcolm Jenkins came out yesterday and said, I hate it. I am way beyond celebrating last year's accomplishments. They don't mean anything. We're at the bottom just like everybody else. God, I love Malcolm Jenkins. Memo to Philadelphia and all you other teams that win a singular title. The minute the parade ends, 5 minutes later, go to a film room. Because that trophy doesn't do your prep. In fact, I would say it inhibits your prep. The teams we talk about in sports, 30 years later, 50 years later, Bill Walsh's 49ers, the 70 Steelers, Showtime Lakers, New England dynasty will be talked about in 30 years. Michael Jordan's Bulls, that lasted a decade. You know who we thought we were going to talk about? The Seattle Seahawks. They won a big Super Bowl, and then they got chatty and cocky and political and fractured and ripped their quarterback in ESPN, the magazine. And you know what Seattle is? One more Super Bowl than the Detroit Lions have. Ooh, congratulations. Philadelphia, while you're congratulating yourself, you do realize in your own state, Steelers have 6. You have 1. In your own division, you're a laughingstock. The Cowboys have 5. The Giants have 4. The Redskins have 3. The Eagles have 1. In your own city, Villanova is the current dynasty. You're not. Here's what you are, Philadelphia. Slightly better now than the Jags, the Titans, the Lions, and the Arizona Cardinals. Why don't you throw another parade? That's all you are. But your coach has got a book. And Lane Johnson's calling out everybody like the Patriots. A real dynasty. And you got a banner in your locker room. And Malcolm Jenkins is like, pass, hard pass. This is why I always supported Malcolm Jenkins in all this anthem stuff, because he wasn't divisive. He was a grown-up. He had opinions. He had causes he cared about, but he handled it like a man. He wasn't trying to pick fights. He was trying to get things solved. It's why I like him. This is how adults talk. Remember, Lane Kiffin was on my show earlier this week, and he addressed the rumors that Alabama cheats, Saban, oh, he's got all the best players. He must cheat. And here's what Lane Kiffin said.
I used to sit in staff meetings as a head coach, and an assistant coach would lose a player to another program, and they say, oh, they cheated. You know, they bought the player. People just say that to take blame off of, okay, why did we lose the player? You know, could we have done something better in the recruiting process to sign the player? So we're just going to say someone else cheated because, you know, that makes us look better. People saying Nick Saban, well, it's like cheating because he has better players than everyone. Well, they just didn't walk onto campus and through the doors. You know, he spent time getting them. He's the best recruiter in the world because of the time that he spends. The only cheating they do is that he just works harder than everybody else.
Yeah. Nick Saban's got, what, 5, 6 national titles? I lost count. I told the story a couple years ago. He won a national championship. He was running off the field. He ran into the locker room, and he went over to his agent, Jimmy Sexton. I have this documented, and he said to Jimmy Sexton, all right, this isn't easy. This just puts more pressure on us for next year. That's how winners think. That's how legends think. Philadelphia, though, got big banner in the locker room. Hey, we're better than the Lions. We got one more than the Jags. Okay, we thought Seattle was going to roll because Seattle, like Philadelphia, has a good coach. Seattle, like Philadelphia, had a great all-time quarterback. Wentz and Russell Wilson, those are Hall of Fame talents. Seattle had a great defense like Philadelphia. Seattle was in a division where they had a rival in San Francisco, but they were better than them and were going to dominate them. And Seattle is now just dysfunctional. I mean, when I think of Seattle right now, I'm like, that's what I think. They're just dysfunctional. Malcolm Jenkins. Should be noted, Adrian Brody won an Oscar. And Rich Beem won a major in golf. You want to be Jack? Want to be Tiger? Or just want to be a guy? So fired up today. You should like that, Joy, because you grew up a Steeler fan,
I love that.
Not an Eagles fan.
I love that. No, it's right, though. It's why it's so hard to repeat, and especially you're always talking about teams that have nicknames and catchphrases.
Jacksonville.
They had a whole gimmick going on last year with the dog masks, and they're the underdogs, and no one gives them any chance. And yeah. I mean, I admittedly didn't give them a chance against the Patriots, but that's got to go now.
Yeah.
Now you have to.
Yeah, dog masks were adorable.
Reboot.
Bring them out on Halloween, then put them away and win football games.
You're not the underdog anymore.
No, now you're the target. Let me shift gears to this. Some people just have more influence for a variety of reasons. You know, Jerry Jones, when he first came into this league, you know, as a Cowboys, who was this cocky oil man, this risk taker, him and Jimmy fighting, him and Parcells fighting. But I will say this, over time, Jerry Jones has incredible influence in the National Football League. For years and my entire life, I used to live in Vegas. My entire life, the NFL is like, no, we don't do point spreads. Vegas is evil. No good. We can't talk Vegas. And a couple years ago, Jerry Jones is like, I think it's about time to have a football franchise in Las Vegas. And what do you know? 2 months later, they voted, and Las Vegas is going to get the Raiders. That was Jerry. Because for 50 years, my entire life, I lived in Vegas. Every time you brought it up, no, that's not, we don't even know what betting lines are. We don't, excuse me, nobody bets football. We don't want to discuss. Jerry's like, I like Vegas. It's time for Vegas. They moved to Vegas. By the way, Los Angeles went a lot of years without the NFL. Rams, Raiders gone. Then Jerry talked to his buddy Stan Kroenke. He said, we're becoming an entertainment sport. We're a TV show more than a game. We got to get to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Remember he said that on the show one time? Didn't you love the way Jerry said that? Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
And suddenly the Rams didn't have a team and Los Angeles had a team. Jerry's got influence. Dez Bryant, let me segue to this. Dez Bryant doesn't have a team. Doug Baldwin of the Seahawks yesterday, I won't be healthy. They're a mess at wide receiver. The New England Patriots, did they cut another receiver yesterday? Are desperate at wide receiver. The Cleveland Browns are desperate for talent. The Jags just lost Marquise Lee. Dez Bryant this morning admitted, yeah, I'll probably play a little bit later in the year. Browns pass, Patriots pass, Jags pass. I think this is Jerry Jones' influence. Jerry's not doing it to be mean-spirited. But when Jerry talks, people listen. And Jerry Jones has always been player-friendly, a bit of an enabler, looks often the other way. And Jerry Jones, and Dez can still play, had 850 yards last year and 6 touchdowns. He can still play. May not be a 1, but he can certainly be a 2 in a lot of teams. And when Jerry said, we're going to get him out of the building, with the Cowboys' current wide receiving group, with Jason Witten on retirement, with all that, having no receivers, Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley, Jerry's like, we're gonna move him out of the building. When Jerry talks about Vegas, Los Angeles, and Jerry was talking there, this guy's a lot, he's a lot of work. That's Jerry's influence. Now, I'm not saying Jerry did it on purpose. Maybe Jerry, and this would be strange, but doesn't quite even understand how much influence he has. But I've watched this guy. Dallas is dying for a star receiver, a big presence. Dez can still play, all-time franchise leader in touchdowns. Again, Dez isn't Julio Jones. He's not Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham. But the dude can play. 850 yards and 6 touchdowns last year with a young quarterback who battled an offensive line, no running game, and noise all year long in a really good division. Yeah, that's that Jerry Jones, once again, without even knowing it this time, has major influence. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
One of my favorite all-time bites.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The thing about Hard Knocks, that HBO show, it does pull back the curtain. Remember the Jeff Fisher LA Rams staff? You were watching it thinking, this is, they're just dysfunctional. And then you watch Rex Ryan, it come off like an AFC championship game, and you're watching Rex Ryan and you're thinking, this, it just looks too loose and too goofy. It does pull back the curtain. Reality shows may be edited, and they may, you know, and a lot of times on the old, you know, music networks, they ply everybody with alcohol and you say stupid stuff, but they do give you glimpses of the truth. And has there been in 4 episodes a single moment of the Cleveland Browns where you thought, damn, that's a really elite coaching staff? No. Hugh Jackson's likable as all get out, but he just wants to be everybody's friend. Todd Haley screaming at everybody. Yesterday he had to apologize for screaming. Greg Williams is just not 2018 material, and you got a cartoon character as an offensive line coach about 350, and he says you shouldn't stretch. The only moment in the show where I thought, God, that is great coaching, came from an actual Browns player last night who's been in the building for 4 months, Michael Kendricks. Here it was.
All right, let's start with Nick Foles. Playing with Nick Foles, I realized on his long balls, his deep balls, he has like a teardrop defect. So corners and the timing's just a little slower on that ball coming in. 86, I think, is the best receiver on the team. Hit his ass over and over. He doesn't want any smoke. Big V, Vitae, he's so big that his size allows him to do what he does. He doesn't trust his feet at all. You get on him, his confidence will go down.
I mean, he sat there. For our TV viewers, we can only show the picture. We can't show all of it. Let me tell you something. That was impressive. And then they showed the game against the Eagles, and he was right on everything. I mean, that was like, oh, wow, that guy is all buttoned up. But you got an O-line coach that's a cartoon character, Haley screaming, then apologizing. Hugh Jackson is incredibly likable, but he wants to be everybody's friend. And then Greg Williams, I mean, it just doesn't work in 2018. And there's a reason he went from Fisher's bad staff to this staff. Like, the Hard Knocks gives you a lot of, and that's why I say about Baker Mayfield, good luck. Carson Wentz can overcome that dysfunction. Andrew Luck can overcome that dysfunction. I've been critical of Cam Newton. He can overcome some of that dysfunction. Can Baker Mayfield, 6 feet tall, 2-time walk-on, can he overcome that dysfunction? They have players. Now, I'm not saying they don't have players. I mean, when you're as bad as they are in any sport and you keep getting number one, number two, number three, number four draft picks, they've got some talent. Denzel Ward, corner. Miles Garrett, the pass rusher. Jarvis Landry. They've spent some money on the O-line. They've got talent. But man, there, the only teaching moment I've seen, and I was like blown away, was from a player who's been on their roster for 4 months. You think if you watched Hard Knocks Patriots, you'd say, yeah, this linebacker came over from Tennessee. That was the most impressive teaching moment I've seen on all the Hard Knocks episodes with Belichick. I don't think you'd see that. Maybe I'm being a homer. I don't think that'd be the case. Hi, everybody. It's The Herd. Here's why I'm a big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe is ready for anything that gets thrown at it. If a storm takes out your power, an intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. Say they destroy your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will still get you the help you need. Now, maybe it's overkill, but maybe you don't need to be ready for every worst-case scenario. But that's what makes Simply Safe home security system so great. It is always ready. Simply Safe could cost an arm and a leg, but it doesn't. Instead, they only charge for what's fair. 24/7 professional security monitoring is just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. We recommend Simply Safe to everybody we know. Check it out. Go to simplysafe.com/herd today. simplysafe.com/HERD. Family assets protect both. simplysafe.com/HERD. There was a show on last night. LeBron had his new show. It debuted. It was called The Shop. It was right after Hard Knocks on HBO. It's kind of the barbershop thing with his best friend, Maverick Carter. You had Michael Bennett. You had Odell Beckham. You had Snoop Dogg, Candace Parker, Draymond Green, bunch of famous people, right? I'm probably leaving a couple out. Bunch of famous people. John Stewart, the stand-up comedian, political guy was there. And there's two moments in the show. Let me start with the first. This is LeBron talking to John Stewart about evolving and how to keep it going. Here's a little taste.
To be able to age and continue to reinvent himself year after year, decade after decade, and still be relevant and still be able to have people follow him, that is hard as hell.
It's not easy to age gracefully.
I left.
How did you know, though?
I began to make decisions based on laziness. It was time for someone else to have that chance.
Most people don't do that, John.
I was satisfied.
So you want LeBron to retire?
That's Michael Bennett. Here's what's really interesting to me about the Lakers is that I have watched every noteworthy game LeBron has played. I watched this first. I've been watching all of them. Certainly every playoff game he's ever played, I've watched all of them. We have seen different stages of LeBron. Here's the three stages of LeBron we've seen so far. I call it the freight train LeBron. This was the first time in Cleveland. Didn't win a championship, but he was raw. He wasn't terribly nuanced. He was just bigger, stronger, faster than anybody we ever seen. Even his first game in the NBA, you're like, dude, if that guy puts 10 pounds on, how are you going to stop him? He was not fully developed, but every night he would chase down and block somebody like an all-star shot, and he'd be like, what the hell is that? I never seen that. I didn't see Michael do that. I didn't see Bird do that. That was the freight train LeBron. The second stage of LeBron's career, to me, was Miami. Now he's joining Pat Riley, Hall of Famer, D. Wade, Hall of Famer, Chris Bosh. Now he's playing with stars. Now the standards are higher. Got to win a ring there. And we saw his game had some holes. Not very good posting up low. The second stage was not winning titles. That's not what it was. The second stage was playing with stars, being a little more coachable, sometimes having to rely on others to win games. The third stage in LeBron's career was the last year in Miami and the Cleveland run. He got really, really efficient and added a deadly three-pointer. He's like, listen, man, I see the game changing. I got to shoot threes. I can't go to the rim and get knocked over. And his game got, incredibly efficient. We saw it last year. Most efficient player in the league. What makes the Lakers interesting is, will we see a fourth stage? Because you're going to get a combo deal in L.A. You're going to get the efficiency of LeBron developed in his last year in Miami and in Cleveland with Kyrie. And you're going to get that first Cleveland roster with no other stars. That's really interesting to me. We had the freight train, the playing with others, and the efficient three ball growing into and remaining the best player in the game. But now we got a new team that looks a lot like that first Cleveland roster. Coulda, woulda, shoulda been good. Do we know any of those guys are great? Do we know Lonzo's going to be great? Do we know Brandon Ingram's going to be great and stay healthy? Do we know Kyle Kuzma is going to not have a sophomore slump? So you get kind of the Cleveland roster first run, but you get all the efficiency and nuance of the last couple of runs. And I think it's really exciting. And I'm, by the way, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen in L.A. I know they're not going to be terrible, but they may not ever win a championship. My guess is they'll get one. Okay, the second part of the show, the shop, and again, it was a bunch of stars, was Odell Beckham Jr. And there was a bunch of stuff on the show, but I thought this was really interesting. He opened up about how he feels he is perceived by you and me, the public.
Odell, I really feel like a zoo animal. Like, that's where life's gone for me. You know, you used to take your kids to the zoo, and we used to be like, you know, I want to see the lions, or let's go see the lions. And you go out there, and the lions are laid out. You know what I mean? It's like, why aren't they doing lion stuff? You know what I mean? Like, I got people who call, Odell, dance. And it's like, to me, that doesn't feel good, but it's like, damn, that's where life became. But can you ever really detach from that?
This is where it's really interesting to me. You know, when I see Odell Beckham, I've said he's the first NBA player in the NFL. And I would compare him a little bit to Steph Curry. Steph Curry is never going to be as good as LeBron. Steph Curry is not as good as Magic. He's not as good as Michael. He's not as dominating as Wilt. He's not as powerful as Shaq. But Steph Curry, I think, is the most impactful player in the history of the Orange Ball. He eliminated centers. He turned it into a more skilled game. We have a revolution that's going on now in college and high school. Go to a YMCA. It ain't working on low post. Not those passing drills. You go to a YMCA. Can you hit a three? Can't? Sit down. Next guy can. You don't have to be the greatest to be the most impactful. And I feel similarly with OBJ. He's never going to be as talented as Randy Moss. He's not going to have the career of Larry Fitzgerald. He won't last that long. He's not big enough. And like Steph Curry, we've already seen injuries, and there may be more to come. But Odell Beckham is different. You go to a football practice, high school in the country, you got dyed hair, one-hand catches, you got a lot of flash. And the coaches are getting more and more used to it. That is the reality now of a lot of high school and college football. Is Larry Fitzgerald as good as anybody I've ever seen? And Calvin Johnson would still be playing today with Tom Brady, giving you 17 touchdowns a year. He just ended up in a dysfunctional organization. But Odell's, to me, is Steph Curry. Remember, David Beckham was never, ever the best soccer player in the world. He's really not Ronaldo. He's not close. He's not Messi. But David Beckham was the most important soccer player, probably outside of Pele, ever. Movies, Spice Girl, model, underwear ads, has come over to help the MLS. We didn't ask Messi to come over here. We asked David Beckham. You don't have to be the best. Steph Curry has more global impact on the history of the game itself, not shoes, the game, than Michael Jordan and LeBron. He's that impactful. He eliminated the non-skilled big. Can't even draft him now. That's got to be a second-round pick. Guy's tough. Doesn't matter. Can he shoot? No. Out. Next guy up. So Odell Beckham, he really is different. He is the – I can remember years ago watching TV. You forget, golfers have always made money on their clubs, and basketball players have always made money on their shoes, right, since Showtime, Lakers, Larry Bird, Magic. Even I think Dr. J had a Converse ad years and years ago. I think it was Converse. But I can remember, it wasn't that long ago when Donovan McNabb played. I remember sitting watching television one time, and Donovan McNabb is doing a chunky Campbell soup ad. And I remember watching it thinking, man, NFL guys don't do ads. I'd never even thought about it before. I'm like, Donovan McNabb has an ad. And then Favre got into him. Then Peyton Manning really got into him. But Odell Beckham is just a perimeter player coming off an injury. He is a global icon. Peyton Manning was never global. Brett Favre was amazing. Brett Favre wasn't global. This kid's like an international soccer star. And the public is, I mean, people come up to him and he can't do dark glasses. Like, this kid is Steph. He is the one-hand catch. I mean, the net, the boat, the flare, the hair. Like, he's different. There's not a lot like him. Now, he's got to stay healthy, or else instead of Steph Curry, he's going to end up being Derrick Rose, which has got his shoes, got his money, got his global icon status, but can't stay healthy. And I think that's a real question, because he's missed in 4 years, 17 games. But he is different. I mean, he is the first NBA player in the National Football League.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Two rings, multiple Pro Bowls, Defensive Player of the Year, one of the most feared guys in league history, all-time sack leader for the Steelers. James Harrison's already on the couch. All right, so Aaron got paid today. You good with it?
Definitely. I'm definitely good with it. I mean,
a lot of money.
He's worth it. He's worth it.
Salary cap now, they're not going to be able to afford other players.
That's something the Packers are going to have to figure out right now. Aaron Rodgers is getting what he deserves.
Yeah. But by the way, when a guy gets one of these massive contracts, how's it playing in the locker room?
Everybody's happy.
Oh, they are? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I love to see guys get money. I'm happy whenever I see a contract come across there that breaks the record of another guy's contract. I want to see everybody get money.
So players are not jealous in that respect?
No, not at least not the ones I hang around, no.
Okay. It was, you remember your big contract?
Yeah. It was 52.
Good.
Everybody was happy. Yes, of course.
Good day?
Great day. Great day.
Beers on you that day?
Whatever it was on me. It don't matter. I'm not a beer drinker, but whatever it was on me.
Barbells on you. I know
everything.
You like
it. So
Odell Beckham, LeBron has a new TV show. It's called The Shop. It was on after Hard Knocks. We're going to play a clip here of Odell Beckham. So let me play this clip, and I'm going to have James react to it. Hold on.
I really feel like a zoo animal. Like, that's where life's gone for me. You know, we used to take your kids to the zoo and we used to be like, you know, I want to see the lions, or let's go see the lions. And you go out there and the lions are laid out. You know what I mean? It's like, why aren't they doing lion stuff? You know what I mean? Like, I got people who call, oh, damn, dance. And it's like, to me, that doesn't feel good, but it's like, damn, that's where life became. But can you ever really detach from that?
So, you know, some people could say, oh, geez, celebrity whining. You've been a celebrity in Pittsburgh. Most places you can't walk around town. How does that land for you with him?
I think it's gotten to a point that his celebrity is so big that he's getting a lot more attention than what, you know, he's comfortable with. I'm sure at times he wants that attention. You know, he opens himself up with social media. He's given a glimpse into what it is he does, and those are times that he's willing to do that. You know, it's situations where you're out, you're hanging out with your friends or family, and you just want to be able to do what everybody else there is doing and not have to worry about, you know, signing the pictures, taking autographs. And with him, like I said, he's mega right now, you know what I'm saying? So to see Odell out, everyone wants to get a picture with him. They want to get an autograph. So it done got to the point now where he just, you know, he's a little tired of it being a 24/7 thing.
Go back to your career. Were there ever days you just were overwhelmed by it? In Pittsburgh, you win Super Bowls, you get three sacks, everybody's talking about James, you go out to have dinner with your, you know, significant other, friends. Is it ever too much?
At some point, it's going to be too much, because you don't have a great day every day. You know, every day isn't rosy. You know, just because you're making all this money doesn't mean everything is going on, you know, happy, you know, back at home. But for the most part, you try and accompany them or do something to make them feel good about meeting you. But for you to be in, you know, certain situations where he may be in a restaurant and he has, say, you know, 50 or 100 people in there and everyone's looking and someone comes over, usually they'll send a little kid over because it's hard to say no to the little kids, and he asks for autographs. So you sign it, and then all of a sudden you got 15, 20, 30, 40 other people and they're coming for autographs and you can't get a bite in to eat now. So you're trying to figure out how you're going to satisfy these people, but still satisfy yourself. So, like I said, it's probably got to a point to where it's very hard for him. And I'm nowhere near the status that he was as far as the stardom and fame that he has and celebrity.
Have you ever been out with Big Ben in public?
I haven't been out in a restaurant with him in public, but I know for a fact, you know, it'll get to the point to where you know that If it's a place you haven't been before, I'll say you'll get a lot more attention. If it's a place like in Pittsburgh, it's places I can go where they see me regularly enough that it's just James Harris and he walks through. Now, if you go somewhere else where they're not used to seeing you, then you're going to get a lot more attention. To a point to where, you know, guys will just say, you know what, I'm not going here, I'm not going there. They'll, you know, try and get someone, if it's food or something they want to get from that restaurant, they'll call or have someone go in and get it and just bring it to them. Or you stop going to certain places where you would, like I just started, you know, with my kids with football and going to different stadiums to, you know, watch them play.
Yeah.
The other teams aren't used to seeing you there. So you get a little bit more attention than you do when you're at the normal everyday practice of the home team.
Yeah. So Malcolm Jenkins, this is really interesting. So Malcolm Jenkins, who I really like as a player, pretty thoughtful, smart dude, good player. He said, I hate it. Our locker room's got this big banner. We got this new thing. We're Super Bowl champs. We showed it earlier. And he's like, you know, listen, man, that doesn't make practice good today. That we did it, done, next parade, let's go to the film room. Take me to your career. Teams do get complacent, James. They just do, right? Did you ever have a Super Bowl team that got complacent?
I feel like we got a little complacent. I feel like, you know, it depends on the players and in the situations. You got to understand, each team is not going to be the same coming around each year. So you're going to lose. You know, you may lose key players. You may lose, you know, people who are on special teams that had key roles at special teams. So it's not going to be exactly the same team rolling around the same year. Everything's not going to fall out the same way. And guys forget how much work it took in that offseason. You started your offseason probably because you got kicked out of the playoffs by February.
That's okay? Right.
So you're grinding February, March, April, May, June, all the way through until you hit training camp. And all that work has built you into the player that's about to start this new season. Well, after you win the Super Bowl, what's after the Super Bowl in February? You're celebrating.
Parade.
You got guys that are – you got signings because everybody wants to be around a Super Bowl champion. They want his autograph. Everyone's getting signings. You know,
everyone's going to card shows. You're going to
– you're getting everything. So now your celebration where your workouts would normally start in February – that's your celebration time now. You're celebrating to February, and some guys just can't get enough of it. So now you're through April, March. Some guys may not get back to it till OTAs or training camp. So now you lost all that prep time where the year before you were grinding. You were working out for, you know, the previous, you know, 4 or 5 months getting ready for the season. So, and like you said, you get the complacency. You know, guys think it's going to just roll through the same way it did. It's not that easy. It's not that simple.
That's why what New England's done is pretty remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just – I mean, even the years they don't win the Super Bowl, they're really, really good, and they just lose a close game. So some people watch Hard Knocks. I do. Some don't. I've never been a huge fan of Hard Knocks. I don't like the league because I think it's disruptive.
Yeah.
Every time you see a reality show, whether it's football or not, the couple gets divorced like a year later. I don't like the league telling teams, here's a camera crew. I got Baker Mayfield.
Rules. It's rules. You can get out of having to do that. All you got to do is play
win
well and make the playoffs every time.
Yeah. If you win.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cleveland now has got Baker and all this stuff. They got Tyrod Taylor, a new quarterback. They got Hugh Jackson's under the gun a little bit. So I think it disrupts a locker room. Have you talked to guys who have been on the Hard Knocks?
I've been on Hard Knocks with Cincinnati.
Oh.
So
how to go. Give me a good story.
I don't know those guys' personality before I got there, but I believe that at some point in time, a camera's going to be here and a guy is going to not act the way he would normally act in that situation to get some camera time, you know, basically to see what he looked like on TV. And the first thing he's going to do when it's time for that to run is make sure he gets to the camera and see what that situation looked like. Another thing I had an issue with, I didn't feel like they deserved to be there. They didn't put any time, any blood, sweat, and tears into that locker room. They didn't do anything to earn a place in that locker room, and now, I mean, you're going to show that to the whole world. And I don't feel like they did anything to be in there. And you got guys that are, you know, 21, 22 years old, and they've played football their whole life, okay, from high school, from peewees to high school to college, and they've been told that, you know what, you're great, man, you're good, let's go. Let's do this high school thing. You're good, man. You're so good. We're going to give you the scholarship, everything paid for. You're in college now. And he get into the pros, and now he's about to be cut. This is the first time he done told he's not good enough for anything. And he has to take that on the chin while the camera in his face. And his real reaction is probably not the one you're going to see right there. Like, he wants to call mom, he wants to call dad, and be like, what do I do? He is devastated. And I don't feel like that should be shown on TV.
It's almost cruel. You were cut by the Ravens?
I was cut by everybody, man. I was cut by Pittsburgh by 4 or 5 times. I was cut by the Ravens. I was cut by Cincinnati. Only people that ain't cut me is New England.
You went to Europe.
I did Europe. Did NFL Europe, Dusseldorf, Germany with the Rhine Fire. I did all that.
God, you really had a rough road, didn't you?
Listen, I was a week short from 2000, the 2004 through the 5 season. I did the NFL Europe and played in regular NFL. I was a week short of a year of football, 38 games straight, nonstop.
38 games.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And that's back when it was two-a-day pads banging.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But that's why you're a legendary grinder.
Yeah.
38 games. So when you hear Jerry Jones say we should have 18 games, you're like, I played double that. I don't care. Guys aren't built. You're built, man. When I first met you, traps, you are built to play football.
My traps ain't there no more?
No, I'm not. I didn't say that. Okay. But when I first met you, I was like, that's what a football player looks like.
Okay.
James, not everybody can withstand. Like, when Jerry says 18 games, my takeaway is, you know John Lynch. Mm-hmm. John Lynch never had a concussion. John Lynch was one of the nastiest hitters at safety. Then you find another guy as a corner doesn't want to tackle anybody. He's got 3. Mm-hmm. Like for you, 38 games. The average NFL player, is 18 games too much?
I think 18 games is too much in the setup they have now.
With 4, then 18.
No, I think 18 games regular season is too much. But I think they need to add more players.
So do I.
You need to add a true practice squad so that you're not taking that same wear and tear in season with practicing. You know, the guys that are special teams, they're flipping back and forth. They're playing offense for the scout team. They're doing all the special team stuff. You need a true group of practice.
So another squad. 8 guys in practice.
No,
eight.
I'm saying like a group that's like 15 to 18, guys. So it would be another 8 or so added to what it is now. So it's 8 practice squad now. Yeah, it'd be another 8 or so at least.
James Harrison, former NFL great. Now he's here at FS1. We're glad to have him. Good seeing you, bud.
Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, we got breaking news, folks. We have major, major breaking news.
Breaking news.
As suspected, it happened sooner than later. The New York Jets have traded Teddy Bridgewater, who was battling Sam Darnold for the starting quarterback job. Sam Darnold is now the official starting quarterback for the New York Jets. They realize he's really good. He should have been number 1. He dropped to them at 3. So the Jets are going to get draft picks, according to Adam Schefter. Draft picks are coming to the New York Jets in exchange for Sam Darnold. And this is what we theorized in the last 48 hours is that this is what I said 2 days ago. I went into this year thinking Teddy Bridgewater starts, and I still think Teddy this morning's a little bit better. But the gap is so close with Darnold and Bridgewater. Are you better off? The Jets have one of the 5 easiest NFL schedules, and it's real workable in the first 6 weeks. Trade Teddy, get draft picks, and just start building that offensive line. Here's another thing to throw out there. Khalil Mack. Jets have been rumored. Jets have an elite safety, Jamal Adams. Trumaine Johnson at corner. Leonard Williams on the defensive line. They don't have a pass rusher. They were 28th in sacks. Do you get a couple of draft picks? And then you go to the Raiders and say, we'll give you draft picks. We want Khalil Mack. And then you got an elite edge rusher, an elite corner, an elite safety. You have a defensive-minded head coach. You keep Sam Darnold in those games. Or do you just grab all the picks you can? You go to your scouting department and say, next 2 years, what are the offensive look like in college football? You go to your NFL scouts and say, are there going to be offensive linemen on the market? Because what you got to do for the Jets right now, you got to get an offensive line. That thing's a mess. It has moments when it can pass block a little. It does not run block well. Now, the Jets receivers are not great, but if Robbie Anderson can keep it buttoned up and curse, they're okay. It's not a disaster. Their receiving core, it depends. Terrell Pryor. Can Terrell Pryor stay focused? Robbie Anderson stay engaged? You got something. But they got no running backs of note. Not good at tight end. Offensive line is really, really poor. But the Jets are making a decision, and they're making a decision that all of us have watched. Sam Darnold is head and shoulders, to me, better than all these rookie quarterbacks. I think Baker has had moments, but I don't think he's as big, as athletic, as talented, as durable. Sam's really looked the part. Now, he's gonna scrap. He's going to have bad days. But the Saints, Drew Brees is getting up there. And I believe Teddy Bridgewater is not just a stopgap guy. I think Teddy Bridgewater can play. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a starting team in the NFL. He's not Drew Brees. But if Drew's got 2 years left, he can be that three-year bridge. You can win a lot of games. And remember, Teddy Bridgewater's never had an offensive coach like Sean Payton. So Sean Payton's the guy looking at all the film, and he's like, Sean Payton is telling you Teddy Bridgewater's good. And the Jets are telling you, we think he's good too. One of the elite offensive guys in football, Drew Brees, Sean Payton just said, I think Teddy Bridgewater's really good. And Sam Darnold's beating him out. That's a pretty good indication Sam Darnold can play. Jets are trading Teddy Bridgewater to the New Orleans Saints. The trade of Teddy to the Saints is expected to involve draft picks. And this is what we all kind of theorize would happen. Eventually, it just happened now.